from Digitiki.com.
You should try the new rum drink.
It's good. What's it called?
Mai Tai. Here, you finish this one. I'll order another.
Oh, do be careful, Daddy. Those Mai Tais can be mighty powerful.
Welcome to the Quiet Village.
Okay, so welcome everybody. I am so excited to share this with you guys. I am here with Jeremy DeHart, who aka Connie Manakura, which I love that name. Mike Young, aka Mr. Moai of Mr. Moai and the Tiki Heads, and Darren Patrick Long, aka Darren Patrick Long of of the Tiki Delights. And we are compadres in this release, Midday Mai Tai. So we are here to share it with you guys. So we're going to talk about the making of, got the ideas behind it. So aloha, guys. Welcome.
Aloha.
I'm so excited. And like I said earlier, Jeremy wins for the best background. And that I just want to be sitting there right now.
I know.
We are here to talk about Midday Mai Tai. So the idea behind this was, I'm just going to dive in and you guys can cut me off at any point. So originally the idea was, you know, we got together and we thought about, hey, you have a group of fans, you have a group of fans, I have a group of fans. Everybody's got their own little group of fans. What if we put together like a compilation record?
Right.
And we're all on it and we kind of grow our fan base. And I think, Darren, you were the first one that came back and wrote an original tune. So it went from putting, like, some of our greatest hits to...
Well, you know what? Yeah, well, you know, I think it started when Darren and I went out to see you doing the Herb Albert and the Tijuana Brass Whipped Cream album last March, you know, almost basically a year ago, like last week.
Yeah.
And when we were hanging out and talking, I think that's when we decided, hey, we should, cross...
Cross swords, right?
Yeah, right.
But you're right. It was supposed to be more just like you submit three songs of stuff already recorded. Yeah, it would have been real easy until I kind of screwed it up.
You know, I was curious about this because I wasn't there. And this was the Tiki Caliente a year ago, right, when you all met?
Well, no,
it was a special show that Mark was doing.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you were just out there, Mike.
Darren calls me up and says, because Darren and I just started, you know, hanging out, talking and stuff, you know, through the Tiki music. And he said, hey, you know, Mark's doing a show. You want to go out there and hang out and see him? Because, you know, he's recorded on some of his stuff, right? But you've never met him in, you know, live.
Right.
Yeah, let's do it. So off we went.
Nice.
That was pretty cool.
So this was the genesis then.
Yeah.
Meet up.
He's the one who said, I want to talk to you guys about doing something. We're like, what? So
I think it was at Sherman's.
Sherman's Deli. Oh, yeah. Love that place. Then
started the song. I don't know why, what got into me, but I just felt inspired. So I never thought we were going to just write all 10 songs, but there you go.
Well, it started that we were just going to submit, you know, previously recorded songs as a compilation album.
Right.
And then I brought Jeremy into SA. We should get Jeremy, you know, I've been doing some stuff with him and he did some stuff with Mark and me on some of my songs, a couple of my tunes. And then it was just like, well, let's just write new music for it. So.
Yeah. I mean, and when you asked me, Mike, you know, I thought it was basically the one song that we had, which I guess was your song, Darren. I think it was Midday Mai Tai, right? Was what we were doing the very first.
Yeah. The thing I had in mind was because I thought, well, this is going to be a real collaboration. I'm not going to give it a name even. I'm just going to write the bare bones, chords and arrangements, no melodies, no title. So I asked the guys, submit a list of titles and we'll come up with something. Mark had Midday Mai Tais on his list.
Well, that kind of came to me because we would meet for Mai Tais on Zoom.
Yeah, we did Zoom Mai Tai Zoom.
And so it was like, well, yeah, like day drinking is kind of a cool theme. Nobody's tackled day drinking yet as a theme.
Actually, like, I did. Mark,
next week, yes,
you did. You did.
Did I send that song to you? One of my previous projects that I was doing that's not.
I heard that on Bandcamp or something.
I did a song called Day Drinking, actually. It's kind of a bluesy harmonica thing, you know. Anyway.
That's and that's, you know, that's what it's all about with these events.
Did I ever send that to you?
I don't think so.
I'm going to send it to you.
Oh, right on.
It's called Day Drinking. It's a little blues rock thing that I do with my. I had a previous project called Freedom 57, and it was all more of like 80s rock kind of stuff. But
okay, cool.
But anyway, that came out of that. Okay,
right on.
Moving on.
So yeah, I mean, that was the genesis of the whole thing, and Darren wrote an original tune, and then I don't remember if it was me or if it was Mike. Mike's like, well, I'm going to write an original, and then. Yeah. Next thing you know, we're all doing originals, and then Mike pulled Jeremy in, and Jeremy's like, "Yeah, I'm in." And then he had an original. I was like, "Okay, we're going to do all originals."
Yeah,
and yeah, one of the things I wanted to say was, yeah, the album flows so well. Everybody writes together. We played on each other's record, but even with that, the songs could sound very different, but they flow so well. They don't sound different. It sounds like. One,
and maybe that's because we all played on each other's part, so our personalities are all embedded in each song, you know what I mean?
Yep.
So
every one of you guys wrote to the idea of relaxing on a beach in the middle of the day and just letting the day go by, and that is just that idea to me is beautiful because I would love to do that.
Oh yeah.
All right.
You reinforced that when you wrote Lazy Hammock and Lonely Beach. It just really kept that theme going.
Yeah, Lazy Hammock. Thinking about a theme when I was suggesting my song, you know, but I suppose it could be in the middle of the day, you know, rainbows, because it always rains in the middle of the day in Hawaii.
So, yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
They call that pineapple juice.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's pineapple juice. It's midday rainings.
Rainbows, because I love that tune. That's one of my favorites. Oh, so we'll play the first track, which is Mike's tune,
which is
called Tears for the Island, and then we're going to go into Rainbows over Kaneohe. Did I say that right?
That's right.
Okay, and, which is Jeremy's tune. All right, let's do it.
Surf is up. For those of you lazing in the sand, here comes another set of great tunes to help you relax on your perfect day in paradise, enjoying your midday Mai Tai. Thank you.
Okay. So I love those tunes.
Thank you.
And
yeah, so I originally wanted to call that Rainbows Over Lahaina.
Ah.
You know, and then you had the Lahaina song. And yes. And so my brother actually lives in Kaneohe.
Oh, nice.
And so I figured that would be great. And then come to find out later, I think that's where Martin Denny lived, was Kaneohe.
Really?
I love that because, you know, I was stationed in Kaneohe, the Marine Corps Air Base.
That's why my brother's there.
Yeah. Back in the day. So there's a connection. Man, you know?
And that was the next thing I was going to ask is Mike, this guy, Mike, has some wonderful tales. He drove helicopters.
Well, no, we used to call them drive. We were
Hilo. You were driving helicopters.
That's Marine lexicon. Hilo drive.
And tell me briefly your average day at work, which
when I was in Kaneohe, because, you know, I also, you know, I was deployed a lot of places, including Gulf War. But when I was in Kaneohe, my average day was, if I was on the flight schedule, it was rough. You know, I might have to fly to the Big Island. And it got to the point where you're like, oh, gosh, that's like an hour. Get to the Big Island, you know.
That's a long time.
We might cruise around, Maui a little bit, to look for George Harrison's place, you know, on that side of the island, you scope it out, and you know, or we go to Kauai and fly the canyons in Kauai, and you know, we do a lot of that kind of stuff, and it was just the average day was pretty good, you know, in Hawaii.
You said you used to just sit on the beach most of the day.
We had actually a digress here. We actually had a mission that was regular because the Navy was clearing explosives from Kaulawe, which was that little tiny island between Maui and Lanai. Right. Okay. There's a little tiny island there, and they use that as a bombing range back in like World War II and stuff. So there's unexploded ordnance there. I think it's mostly cleared off now, but we used to call it a day at the beach. So you come in the flight schedule that day, you'd look at them like, oh yeah, I'm for the day at the beach. It would say a day at the beach, you know, and it'd be, you know, Captain Young and so-and-so and whatever. So we'd take our bird and we just took one out then. And we'd go out there and they had a little pad set up for us on Colorado, and we'd set it down and there's nothing to do. You're just waiting to get a call for somebody that, you know, that like gets blown up and you got to take them to the hospital. It never happened, but thankfully. But we just said we'd bring our launchers out there. We'd bring our coolers and some music, you know, and we just hang out there and just wait for the call, which never came, thankfully.
That's a rough life right there.
5 o'clock rolls around, we'd fly back.
And pick up your paycheck at the end of the week.
Well, that wasn't every day, but I'm just saying that was one of the good days, you know.
Oh, man. Okay.
So right there in Kaneohe, there's that airstrip, Mike, you know. Yeah. And at the end of the airstrip, they've got that Pyramid Beach or whatever they call it.
Mm.
Or what's that little, you know, at the very end.
You're talking about the Marine Base?
The Marine Base, okay. Yeah.
Well, there's the island out there in Kaneohe Bay that is the Gilligan's Island, Coconut Island.
Oh, yeah. No, but it's just that break right there.
Right, there's a beautiful beach. There's beautiful beach there.
So I was talking to my – I took lessons from Alan Akaka. And there, you know, the Hawaiian pantheon of creation is that that man came from this black mud, basically. And that's at this beach right there at the end of the airstrip.
Oh.
Which is really cool because when I went there, my brother, he's like, this is like the best beach. And we went, you know, had to go on the base and you go right there down there to the end. And it's
the beaches like around
or Castle Beach. Well,
I can't remember, but the beaches around the Naval Air Station. It's the Naval Air Station now. I think it was Marine Air Base or Air Station are just gorgeous. I mean, unbelievable. I mean,
it's Bellows, isn't it? Bellows.
Bellows is actually farther south. That's, you know, that's an Air Force base at Bellows. That's just south of Kaneohe. Yeah. I used to fly into Bellows a lot.
I have a short little story. I know the descendant I know the descendant of the man whose name that was named after.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I have a friend. His name is Dr. Tom Bellows.
Dr. Bellows.
Dr. Bellows.
Wasn't he the psychiatrist on I Dream a Genie?
I know. I actually teased him a little bit about that.
I sounded familiar.
Yeah, he actually just passed away on the 18th of February. He was 80 something, but we used to meet up every Sunday. We'd go get bagels, and then we'd go to this little car show every Sunday. And his name was Dr. Bellows. And yeah, I gave him a little bit of stuff about it. But he told me, he goes, yeah, the Bellows Air Force Base over there. He goes, it's named after his great grandfather.
Yeah.
Wow.
And anyway. But
we used to fly a lot of night vision goggles. We'd fly into Bellows.
That side of Oahu it's like Tahiti.
Yeah.
It's gorgeous over there. I mean, white sand beaches. Oh my gosh.
The best beach, I think, is Kailua.
Kailua, okay.
Gorgeous. Yeah, they do a lot of windsurfing over on that side in Kailua.
Nice.
And it's local. And, you know, here's a pro tip. If you're vacationing in Hawaii, you know, do Waikiki because you got to see it, but then go over to Kailua. Nobody there. It's gorgeous. Yeah.
Yeah. That's where my Alan Akaka teaches class over there. So I got to go have a class with him in person, which I've only had two classes in person for steel in my life. And one was with Alan Akaka, and then one was another guy in Hawaii named Jerry Valdriz. Really great Hawaiian player as well.
Cool.
So let's move on. Let's play one of Darren's tunes and one of my tunes. Why not? So, Darren, which tune would you like me to debut here?
How about Nights in Bora Bora?
Nights in Bora Bora. Good tune. Nights in Bora Bora. And then we'll do Lazy Hammock, which was my tune. All right. Here we go. Nights in Bora Bora by Darren. And Lazy Hammock by me, but with all of us actually playing on it. So here we go. Darren, I'll talk about my idea behind it, but tell me your idea behind Nights in Bora Bora, because I would love to spend several nights in Bora Bora.
Well, excuse me. Strangely, the idea came from a magazine, this travel magazine that I don't have a subscription to it, but they keep sending it to me. And one of the articles was about Bora Bora, and I was like, man, this is gorgeous. And I just sort of fantasized about, you know, staying in there and just getting the vibe of it. What I was trying to do, though, was get a little Mr. Moe kind of sound going.
If, you oh, know, there you go.
This type of song. Kind of rocking, kind of more surfy meets Exotica.
Yeah. And I gotta say, Mike, I love your albums and your singles that you put out. Those of you who may not be familiar, and you should be, with Mr. Mawai and the Tiki Heads, definitely check them out. Actually, yes. check out the Tiki Delights, and definitely check out the Manicuras and the Aqua Lads too, right? It's two bands.
That's right. Yeah, it's a surf band, yeah. Now right me and on. Mike are part of the Aqua Lads, so that's pretty exciting.
Yeah,
we did a practice earlier today.
Right, man. Yeah, surf is kind of, there's a kind of offshoot, I think, of Tiki music. That surf fits in pretty well.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Yeah. And so, yeah, Jeremy's band, the Aqua Lads, goes back to, what, 97?
Yeah.
Wow.
96, yeah. Really. We started playing in 96. And, you know, I always loved I think I came to surf music somewhat through Santo and Johnny, in a way.
Oh, yeah.
And so I've loved this, like, loungy sort of thing that led me to surf music. A lot of guys get into surf music from punk, and you end up with this really heavy, you know, stuff that's great. And I love that stuff too. You know, dry. You know, I love surf, and I've done a lot of the surf stuff, and talked to, obviously, John Blair a lot, amazing, and Ivan Pongrasek, amazing historians on all this stuff. And you know, Dick Dale, I started the whole concept of surf music, but in parallel, there was the Bel Airs, which is much softer, not softer, but I would just say, you know, it's not quite as heavy duty. It's not a replacement for punk rock. And I guess that's, I mean, something that I would love to ask you guys about, if that's akin to something we want to talk about on this podcast, but like, what got you here to where you're wanting to play Tiki, Exotica, maybe some surf influence, all this kind of stuff?
That's a really good question. I would love to hear that from everybody. Yeah. So Jeremy, you got it from surf and from
yeah. Well, I mean, actually, you know, I was I always loved the Ventures, but then I got into Billy Vaughn.
Oh, okay.
From the Blue Hawaii album.
Yeah.
When I was living by myself in Florida, and kind of fell in love with this concept of old Florida and this music. At the same time, I bought an original copy of Voodoo from a Goodwill. Had no idea what it was, so I listened to that as well. But then, shortly thereafter, bought some Phantom Surfer, Satan's Pilgrims, Laika and the Cosmonauts, a lot of these bands, Manor Asher Man, of course, and all this kind of stuff. And that really got me into, like, oh, I'm going to play surf music, because, you know, a lot of alternative stuff going on in my life at the same time, right? And so surf music was just sort of adjacent. But I always really loved this loungy, whatever it was. And I thought that was Hawaiian music. So I'd collect all these Hawaiian albums and kind of love some Hawaiian music and all this stuff. And I left the Aqua Lads at one point and was like, I really want to learn how to play Exotica. So I'm gonna learn how to play the steel guitar.
There you go.
And this just shows you how misguided I am, because there's really no steel guitar in Exotica. No. Obviously, yeah. Hawaiian music, there's steel guitar, which is great. But there's very few Hawaiian albums, in my opinion, that would be considered Exotica. They're really Hawaiian music. It's kind of a separate thing. But then when you look at Exotica, it is also Hawaiian music, just done in an Exotica kind of fashion.
Yeah.
Now, this is just my concept.
But. And I will say this. You play your steel guitar vintage style. it sounds old, and that is, I think, kind of a lost thing, because Hawaiian music nowadays is more reggae.
Yeah,
it's kind of lost, or what do you call it? Slack key.
And slack key as well. Yeah.
Well, you know what? Yeah.
I don't think that there's a lot of people doing actual Hawaiian steel.
Right. Okay. Well, let's listen to a perfect example of what you did on the album. This is my tune, Lahaina Hula, and it doesn't actually feature steel. You did the resonator guitar on this, and it just sounds like it is just, it sounds like it's a bygone era. So here from the new album, Midday Mai Tais, is my version of Lahaina Hula, which actually was on my Lahaina Sunset record. But I did it really slow, just kind of a Lymanism. But here it is at regular hula tempo, right here.
When the Beatles came in and they killed surf music, they really put a bullet through the heart of surf music, exotica, and Hawaiian music. All mm-hmm. that stuff was considered the old people music. Yeah. And suddenly all of this Beatles stuff was considered new, you know, so get rid of all that crap. How surf music got, you know, like, I guess because all the surf musicians were young and they're like, let's do this other stuff, you know.
Right.
But yeah, yep. That kind of killed all that stuff. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I guess Santo and Johnny was a huge part of it as well. I always wanted to learn how to play steel, and I didn't really start doing it until 2017. And tried to learn as fast as I can and created the Manicoras with just myself and with backing tracks. Invited a few guys in and started to try to make songs with steel as Exotica, with a conga and whatever. And this is after a long, you know, time in surf music as well. But, you know, it all comes full circle. And I feel like getting to play with you guys is great because I love doing lots of different influences. And I also love what this band represents, which is we've never played together in person. And you get something and you have to interpret it and just spit something out that it feels natural. And it feels like we're all together writing this together. You know, I kind of feel like you write better in this scenario than you do in person in a way. I don't really know, but to me, that's kind of how I feel about it. So it's been a pleasure. It really has.
Yeah. And Mike, how did you come to Tiki?
Come to Tiki. Well, you know, I come from a background of like an 80s cover band, you know, drummer. And, you know, of course, I went in the Marines and early in life, right after college, and it kind of took a break from music. But I stayed musical, you know, I tried to stay relevant and play guitar, teach myself guitar and that sort of thing. And, of course, going to Hawaii, I think I didn't really get into it in Hawaii. And I was, you know, I think it was more maybe some subliminal kind of thing that occurred while I was living there, because it was much later where I was spending a lot of time in San Diego, a lot of time. I'd go several times a year. And, you know, there's a huge, you know, Tiki vibe in San Diego. You know, I picked up Tiki magazine. I can remember it. I picked up Tiki magazine. That was really cool. From Trader Mort's, that great liquor bar.
Trader Mort's, you know? Yeah.
It was like a Tiki hut. I fell in love with the magazine. So I subscribed. I loved it. And I was reading the reviews. And I saw, you know, they had these music reviews. And, you know, I started listening to people. And it was the Tiki Aki Orchestra that you were part of at one time.
Yeah.
You know, and I tell you, it blew me away. It was like, I love this because it's old and new and it's just really cool.
Yeah.
And all this stuff. It just, so that set me on the path. So what is this all about? Of course, you know, I don't know if I had Spotify back in the day, but I started finding more and more offshoots of that. And, you know, the Arthur Lyman, Martin Denny, and it just started just growing in me. And, of course, I'll have to admit, I do like to partake in bibbing from time to time. And it all just kind of worked together. It was like, this is the perfect combination. I drink Mai Tais, I'm escaping. It just took me in, and I loved it. And it wasn't until, you know, then I had a regular career. I got out of the Marines, and I did other stuff. And it wasn't until I retired in 2018 that I started doing some my own music, you know, and my own projects, Freedom 57, you know, the day drinking thing. And, you know, and that didn't really do, you know, didn't really do it for me. But I said, I've been saying for a long time to myself, I want to do an Exotica or that kind of album. Here's a really interesting story that I'll just pass on. Is that, so I started doing the song, I came up with the Dawn of Tiki, and I started writing a whole album, Surfotica was the album, Mr. Moyne.
Yeah.
But you played the Dawn of Tiki on your podcast for me. And we didn't really know each other at the time. I just emailed it to you, and you said, "Oh, I love this song. I'll play it." Great. Well, one of Jeremy's friends heard the song, and you had introduced it as from Charlotte, North Carolina band, or whatever. And he let Jeremy know about it, and Jimmy's like, "I don't know. I don't know anything about this Mr. Moai in Charlotte, whatever.
Who is this guy?"
Jeremy's pretty connected, you know. So he finds me on Tiki Central. You know, as I was on Tiki Central, he finds me and messages me and say, "Hey, I want to meet up." And we go to this kind of little Tiki bar. And the funny thing is, I just started listening to the Manicuras about a month or two before. And I'm like, this is what I'm going for. You know, this kind of mix of surf and Exotica, Tiki, you know. And it wouldn't even come out till later in the conversation that he was the founder of the Manicuras. I was just like, wow, is this a small world? What?
There you go.
So we decided to start collaborating on some stuff. And then we brought you in and you collaborated on some stuff. And it just took off from there. And,
It's been Mike was punking me. That's what it was.
That's true. Yeah, right. Because one of my songs is kind of, I think, Shaken and Stirred. I think you have one, Shaken or Stirred or something. I don't know. Anyway.
Yeah.
But I tell you, it was it's been a great ride. And I'm just loving this style, the music, and just the camaraderie and meeting you guys. It just expanded my horizons like you wouldn't believe. Matter of fact, for this album, I've never really played ukulele before, but also I'm playing ukulele. Well, yeah, I'm like, I'm having to figure stuff out.
I like that ukulele. You're playing ukulele.
Well, you know, it was ukulele. Until my second Mai Tai. Now it's ukulele. So anyway, but yeah, so I just, you know, you pushed me. So, you know, you sent me this stuff. Like Darren would send me these chord charts, and he's playing these funky chords all over the place. You know, I'm a basic guitar player. You know, I play, you know, the cowboy chords, right?
Yeah.
And I'm getting these, you know, these crazy chords. I'm like, how do I play this on the ukulele? So I'm literally having to chart the stuff out with chord diagrams and just, you know, I'm learning it as I go. So, and then I'm doing a lot of lead guitar on this album on the ukulele. So that was challenging because it's way different than the guitar. You know, there's only four strings and it's tuned differently. So it's been a just wonderful for me to expand my musical knowledge and push me to, because that's the way you get better too. You get pushed, you know? And I tell you, it's been a phenomenal project. I'm happy to be part of it.
I will say this. I didn't know that you weren't that proficient on ukulele because you nailed your parts. You're picking it. I came back and I laid it into my workstation, and your picking was like dead on eighth notes. I was like, damn, that was pretty smooth.
Well, yeah, I used to follow Tommy Emmanuel a lot. Great finger style guitar player. And if you ever try to learn any of this stuff, it's nearly impossible. But so I can finger pick the guitar pretty well, you know, not really good, but I mean, for me, pretty well. And that translated to the ukulele. So I was able to, you know, I can figure stuff out.
But really, Mike, you're a drummer, you know.
I'm a drummer, yeah.
Yeah, right. He started, I don't know if you talked about this, but you started as a drummer.
I started as a drummer, yeah.
Wow.
Two drums.
All right. Yeah, and you can really get that, you know, and dealing with internet bands, I'll call it, right?
Yeah.
You can sometimes really lose sync in these songs. You know, one guy kind of makes some sort of a sort of timing error and you're not necessarily playing to a click or whatever, and that can really blossom into some serious like timing mistakes, you know. Yeah. But drummers really have this like right on, you know, thing. And like what you were saying, Mark, you throw it into the DAW and suddenly everything just matches up perfectly. It's phenomenal.
I got to tell you, that is one of those moments where it's like, you're not sure how it's going to sit. And you sit it in there, and with all of your guys' tracks, it was like, it's like, wow. It fit right in.
My guys.
So, that was really nice. But, okay, Darren, your turn. How did you, all the way from Nashville?
San Francisco.
San Francisco by way of Nashville, right?
I grew up in San Francisco, and I came up playing in Irish bars in San Francisco and playing oldies. And then we eventually started to write our own kind of rock music and started playing some of the rock clubs. But we did a little bit of everything. We played oldies, British Invasion, country, surf, you know. And then the thing about the Exotica and Tiki, though, it goes back to, like, I was just in San Francisco at my parents' house helping them pack up their stuff. And my mom had 500-something records that we had to get rid of. And in those, I found some of them the other day were Martin Denny and Arthur Lyman. And I remember hearing those as a kid. So I loved that music. My grandparents had a lot of Hawaiian music. I used to hear that all the time when I'd visit. And but I never thought about playing any of it. I always just thought of it as an old genre until, like Mike, I discovered Tiki Magazine and these groups putting out new music. And I was like, wow, I didn't know there was any new music coming out of this genre. So that led to me thinking, well, with my background, shoot, I can do this stuff. Why don't I just, I never knew it would turn into how many CDs I put out, but it was like the Tiki Delights was just hey, let's have a shot at this, you know? I mean, as much reason to do it as anybody else growing up on that stuff. So it's a great genre because, like Jeremy was saying earlier, I think that you've got tiki, Hawaiian, surf, lounge. I like lounge music a lot. And I like to go back, even spaghetti western.
Yeah.
It's in with this. It's kind of a wide umbrella. So it's kind of fun because you can kind of be more tiki. Like your album was very Hawaiian. Mm-hmm. And I'll do a whole lounge album sometimes, then come back to tiki and exotica. It's very fresh, you know, and it's fun to write this stuff. But this project has been a lot of fun with you guys because you guys are the lead players. I mean, you've really, I gave you a lot of room. If it was my own CD, most of the time when I'm working with other people, I'll say, well, here's the melody. I don't write music, but here's the melody, blah, blah, blah. With you guys, I just said, here's the song, bare bones.
Yeah.
Just chord structure. You guys come up with the melodies and the parts.
Well, we changed that. You know, one, you said.
Right. Everything was great.
It was a great chord progression, the Sandy's Cove. And when I heard it, I was trying to play with it because I was trying to come up with like a lead guitar part of Sandy's Cove, and I just couldn't make it work, you know, with the demo. And so I said, you know what? I'm hearing a reggae beat. I'm just hearing this reggae thing. For some reason, that's what I was hearing in my head. So I got on my DAW, and I started playing around with some reggae drums and some reggae bass. And then you know, I used the exact same chord progression, but I changed the, you know, just came up with this reggae idea. And I think it worked. I think it's one of my favorite songs to play. I love playing it on the ukulele. It's great.
That's why this is such a great collaboration, is because things like that. And Mike would say, what do you think of this? I'm like, I love it. Let's do it.
Well, believe it or not, I didn't intend to make this a two-parter, but the interview was so good, I just wanted to keep as much of it. So we are going to end here by playing, of course, Sandy's Cove, the tune we were just talking about, off of the new Midday Mai Tais collaboration record. And then we'll go on to part two. So thank you all for listening. And here I am going to debut Darren Long's tune, Sandy's Cove, tribute to Sandy Warner, the cover girl for all the Martin Denny records. This is a wonderful, fun tune from the album Midday Mai Tais, available May 1st, 2025. Check it out. See you shortly.